Welcome to Men Alive, a biblical journey to help us conform to the image of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Paul Estabrooks. Our teacher is my longtime friend, Dr. Jim Cunningham, consultant in adult education, director of Go Teach Global, and author of Men Alive. Dr. Jim.
Pablo, let me begin with a story from my first year as a young teacher in training at what was then called Lakeshore Teachers College in Toronto, Ontario. At that time, I was not a follower of Jesus Christ. I was living a lifestyle that was counterculture to the Christian values of my parents and commands of Scripture. I was a happy little hedonist. I did whatever I thought was the right thing for me and brought the best results for me. Selfish? Yes. God-fearing? Not at all. God was not part of my life.
As I recall those days, Jim, you weren't mad at God. You just chose to ignore obeying God, ignore His church, and do your own thing.
That sums it, Pablo. As Easter approached in our final semester, four of us guys decided it would be a good idea to drive from Toronto, Ontario, down to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, for what was called spring break. I had a car, so we did the math. If we rotated drivers every 2 hours, we could drive straight through in 21 hours. As I recall, Friday of that week was Good Friday, a holiday with no classes. We decided to skip Thursday, the last day of classes, leave on Wednesday after classes, and get there the next day, ahead of the crowds. We all agreed. I will not identify my three companions in case they are listening to this program. Off we went. Perfect plan. We drove through Washington, D.C. around midnight when all was quiet, headed south on the interstate highway, and joined thousands of other college students escaping for a week of fun in the Florida sun. Curiously, we even met other students from Lakeshore Teachers College who had also cut classes and skipped out early. After 5 days in the sunshine, we leisurely drove back home in time for classes the following week. Now comes the most memorable part of my story. Sitting in class the next week, an announcement came over the public address system. Would Mr. Cunningham please come to the office? I looked at my three compatriots. We each shrugged our shoulders in feigned lack of knowledge about what this might mean. I was ushered into the administrator's office by his secretary. At this point in the story, I cannot recall whether I was still standing or had been invited to sit down, but the door remained open as he began his opening line. I understand you and three fellow students skipped classes a week ago Thursday and drove to Florida a day before the holiday officially began. Yes, sir. What do you have to say for your non-professional behavior? Well, sir, it seemed like a good idea, and we were not the only ones who did it. At this point, he stood and raised his voice loud enough for all in the outer office and hallway to hear him say, "You're rationalizing, Mr. Cunningham. Rationalizing. Teachers are professionals, trained to model to students the values and rules of our culture. Skipping your obligation to be in class for whatever reason is rationalizing and unacceptable for a professional teacher. You are without excuse. That's all I have to say. Now go back to your class and in the future be a professional and stop rationalizing." As I walked out of his office, his secretary, a friendly gal who knew us all well, suppressed a smile and whispered his words, "You're rationalizing, Mr. Cunningham." I had to get a dictionary to figure out what the word rationalizing meant. An attempt to explain or justify one's own or another's behavior or attitude with logical, plausible reasons, even if these are not true or appropriate. For example, I couldn't explain or justify my decision to skip classes a day early.
If I recall psychology classes at university, Freud believed rationalization was a defense mechanism, an unconscious attempt to avoid addressing the underlying reasons for a behavior. He believed rationalizing an event may help individuals maintain self-respect or avoid guilt over something they have done wrong.
I wish I could say I never rationalized again. Not so. I remember telling Rita my teacher's college story. And thereafter, when I gave her an excuse for why I did something, or more commonly, a weak excuse for why I did not do something, she would sometimes look at me with a smile, quote the college secretary, and say, "You're rationalizing again, Mr. Cunningham."
Do we as men tend to rationalize?
Pablo, if rationalizing were an Olympic sport, some men could be gold medal finalists. Consider Adam, the first man in the Bible. He was in the Garden of Eden with all the food you could imagine. He was told by God not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for the day he did, he would die. That's a rather severe command, and it had stronger consequences than missing a day of school. But Adam was with his wife Eve in the garden, and along came the serpent, who saw them looking at the tree and asked, "Did God really say?" causing them to doubt God's word. Then the serpent said, "You won't die," the first lie recorded in the Bible. So they ate, and eventually when God appeared in the garden, Adam and Eve hid because they felt shame, knowing they were naked. And note, even though the Bible says Adam was there at the tree with Eve, he replied to God, "It was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it." Whoa. That's a bit of a lie, Adam. You still had free will to say no. Is this a little blame game, or does Adam receive the award for first man in the Bible to rationalize? Blaming others or circumstances for our mistakes is a common form of rationalizing. It takes courage to say, "I was wrong," or "I forgot," or "Please forgive me." Much easier to make excuses, tell a partial truth, or just flat out rationalize.
I'm not rationalizing, Jim, but it is time to take a break and talk to anyone new to this program and tell them that you are listening to Men Alive with Dr. Jim Cunningham from Go Teach Global. Visit GoTeachGlobal.com, and Jim's email address is menaliveuntogod@gmail.com. We'll repeat that information at the end of the program. Jim, I'm thinking about Abraham when he took his wife Sarah down to Egypt. He tried to save his life by telling her to report she was his sister, and Pharaoh took her into his harem. Finally, God intervened, and they were expelled. Here's a question for you, Jim. Was Abraham rationalizing or lying?
The truth is, Pablo, rationalizing often includes a bit of lying. And we often rationalize because of fear of being found in the wrong, fear of what might happen to us if truth was discovered. Here's another Bible story of rationalizing. 1 Samuel 15. Listen to the message the Lord gave Samuel to tell Saul. "Go and completely destroy the entire nation of Amalek for opposing Israel when they came out of Egypt." Go and completely destroy the entire Amalek nation, men, women, children, cattle, sheep. So Saul did. Well, sort of. He destroyed all the Amalekites except King Agag, and he kept the best of the sheep and the goats. Saul greeted Samuel cheerfully, "I have carried out the Lord's commands." Samuel said, "What's this bleating I hear of sheep and goats?" And here comes his rationalization. "It's true that the army spared the best of the sheep, goats, and cattle," Saul admitted, "but they are going to sacrifice them to the Lord your God. We have destroyed everything else." And Samuel said, "Why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Why did you rush for the plunder and do what was evil in the Lord's sight?" "But I did obey the Lord," Saul insisted. "I carried out the mission he gave me. I brought back King Agag, but I destroyed everyone else. Then my troops brought in the best of the sheep and the goats and the cattle and plunder to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." But Samuel replied, "What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice?" Listen. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king.
It happened in the New Testament as well, Jim. Jesus told a parable of a wealthy king going away and giving his servants money to invest while he was absent.
Listen as I read from the Living New Translation and see if there's any rationalizing in this story. The crowd was listening to everything Jesus said. Because he was nearing Jerusalem, he told them a story to correct the impression that the kingdom of God would begin right away. He said a nobleman was called away to a distant empire to be crowned king and then return. Before he left, he called together 10 of his servants and divided among them 10 pounds of silver, saying, "Invest this for me while I am gone." But his people hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, "We do not want him to be our king." After he was crowned king, he returned and called in the servants to whom he had given the money. He wanted to find out what their profits were. The first servant reported, "Master, I invested your money and made 10 times the original amount." "Well done," the king exclaimed. "You are a good servant. You have been faithful with the little I entrusted to you, so you will be governor of 10 cities as your reward." The next servant reported, "Master, I invested your money and made 5 times the original amount." "Well done," the king said. "You will be governor over 5 cities. But the third servant brought back only the original amount of money and said, "Master, I hid your money and I kept it safe. I was afraid because you are a hard man to deal with, taking what is not yours and harvesting crops you didn't plant." "You wicked servant," the king roared. "Your own words condemn you. If you knew that I'm a hard man who takes what isn't mine and harvests crops I didn't plant, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I would have gotten some interest on it." Did you catch the rationalization? Rationalizations often begin with the word "but." The servant is basically saying, "Yes, I hid your money, but I was afraid because you are a harsh man." Again, we see fear of consequences as a motive for rationalizing. Rationalizers have to explain or excuse why their assignment isn't done.
"The dog ate my homework" was a favorite phrase in my high school.
Rationalization can be used to try and explain why a marriage isn't working, why investments are losing money, or why I skipped school and drove to Fort Lauderdale a day early. God's word teaches us to avoid deceptions to protect our self-image. By God's grace, let's become conformed to the image of Christ without using rationalizations as a defense mechanism.
There you have it, men. For a printed program of this teaching or with any questions you may have, email Dr. Jim at menaliveuntogod@gmail.com. Men Alive is a production of Go Teach Global. For more information, go to our website at goteachglobal.com. There you'll find background information about Dr. Jim, and the second page gives you an opportunity to listen to any or all of listener-supported Men Alive recorded programs. Until next time, I'm Paul Esterbrooks on behalf of Jim Cunningham, encouraging you to be Men Alive, transformed into the image of Jesus Christ.